Hello, everyone. My name is Casey. Again, I am a co-host for this term's UWaterloo Product Management Club's podcast initiative. We are just constantly, uploading podcast episodes, having guest stars who are working at really prestigious or really awesome product management positions, either in internships or their full-time positions. And today I have me a very nice guest. His name's Neil Sharma. So he's currently an engineering program manager intern at Apple right now. He's working remotely, as obviously you know, with the whole current situation with the remote working. Everyone's been working remote, but I have general courtesy and the privilege to be able to talk to him today. Got some of his time, and so he's going to share with us a lot of his experience, just getting that product management internship, his experiences of working at Apple, and perhaps compare that to his other internship experiences, since I'm assuming Apple's not his only one. And we'll just dive straight into it. So Neil, I guess, why don't you just introduce yourself and we can go into the first question.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks, Casey. I know we were trying to set this up for a while, so I really appreciate it. So like you said, I'm currently an EPM intern at Apple on the Siri data team. I'm also a sophomore system design engineering student at the University of Waterloo. And yeah, let's just get started.
Awesome. Yeah, sick. I guess going straight into the first question here, not wasting too much time, is what is your experience currently at Apple right now? Usually, you know, I like to dive first into like, oh, how did you get into PM? What's your first experience like? But I'm assuming because, you know, a lot of people want to listen to this because, you know, you're working at Apple right now, they're very curious about the EPM program for Apple. What's it like so far? You know, what are the general responsibilities? Does that pertain to the general, or I guess you could say common responsibilities/tasks that you would assume a PM has?
Yeah, no, for sure. I guess just I can summarize it really quick and then go into like kind of a little more detail. Overall, it's been like quite an experience, really amazing. The EPM program and like kind of like the EPM role, I really do think it's kind of a mix of both program management and product management, in the sense that in product management, you're kind of, you know, helping to build something out and, you know, deciding on feature developments and things like that. But there's also a lot of program management in the sense of, you know, like really understanding scope, understanding, you know, certain things that need to be tracked and rallying teams together to, you know, achieve objectives, right? So that's been really cool to kind of get that blend, because I usually either had one or the other, but now it's kind of like a mix of both. I'm working on two projects now and kind of running those in parallel. But one of the craziest things, and like not like one of the best things I'd say, is the level of ownership you kind of actually get at Apple. They really do treat interns like they would any other employee. And a lot of the times people don't even know you're an intern unless you actually tell them. So I really, really do appreciate that. And I think the amount of work that you can do and the amount of impact that you can make is completely up to the individual, and there's no limitations on that. So overall, it's been a really, really, really awesome experience. Obviously, my one wish was that it was in person. And like, obviously, you know, with remote work due to COVID-19 and all that, you know, there are some barriers that come with that, like just like communication and like, you know, I'm pretty sure anyone who's kind of worked in any kind of role, right? It's so easy to just, you know, grab a coffee with someone, talk about whatever you want to talk about, work-related or personal-related, right? But, you know, because everything's remote, you kind of just have to schedule things and it's so formal and things like that, right? So I will say the first few weeks were a little tough in that sense, just getting to know how everything works. And Apple's a really big company. Like, I know that's kind of obvious, but I don't think people actually realize how big it actually is. And like, as soon as you, like your first day, it's like the most overwhelming thing ever. And there's so many softwares to learn. There's so many things you have to get access to, so many people to talk to. You don't know which person does what and which team does what. And you know, it's very big in that sense. Right. And there's probably a lot of companies like that, right? But this is kind of my first like really big company, I guess, like FANG. I guess you can call it a FANG company. So it's my first time actually kind of experiencing something like this. And yeah, like the first week it was quite just kind of learning how things work and how everyone kind of connects together and fits the puzzle. But overall, yeah, it's been an amazing experience and I'm really enjoying it.
Awesome. No, that's great. It's a great introduction to Apple, and obviously you're like the general scope of what you're working on. And obviously, you know, like with the signed NDAs and whatnot, is there anything that, this is a very open-ended question, but if there's anything that you're able to share regarding the two projects you're working on, or just generally like the Siri data team that you mentioned you're a part of, in any sense, just to kind of dive a little bit deeper into your particular like responsibilities or the technology and the technical tools that you get to use with the engineers. Is there any way that you can describe that?
I know Apple's like really particular about the privacy and like the NDA stuff. What I can say is that, you know, I'm working on the Siri data team. Siri has a lot of different teams that kind of, you know, obviously, you know, kind of make up Siri, like the like experience side, you know, the way it understands things, you know, the searching mechanisms within it, right? But specifically what the Siri data team does is like we kind of help funnel the data and kind of the, you know, the metrics that kind of tell us how Siri's doing performance wise, and we funnel it to other teams so that we can kind of improve Siri like responses and Siri performance and enhance the user experience, right? So the projects that I'm working on are really related to that, and basically trying to make sure that we can, you know, derive the right data so that we can improve Siri and make it more functional and basically enhance the end customer experience.
I see. No, that's awesome. Cool. It sounds like obviously a common iterative approach to product management and just sort of the agile process. But it's also nice to hear that Apple sort of deploys, you know, like at least a theme or an aspect of the agile process that we all talk about. And going to the next question here, I just have like a several list of questions, kind of more general, less about Apple itself, but more just your product management internship experience and the whole job hunt. I guess the job hunt journey, because, you know, for you, especially landing that Apple internship, is that your first ever product management internship, or have you had previous ones?
This was technically like my second, I'd say, yeah.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so I guess if there's a brief rundown that I can provide in terms of your experiences and the challenges you've had of getting your first product management internship, because, you know, that's the saying goes, you know, yeah, it's the chicken and egg problem, right? Where how are you supposed to get that first job without the experience? So what was the challenge like for you, and how did you get that?
Yeah, so actually, some people don't really think about this, but the way I kind of got it was through an internal promotion sort of way. So I think this would help up a lot of people as well with like that whole chicken and egg problem, because it's like, how do I get into product management if I don't have any experience in it, right? And I would honestly say that if you get into a company, even if it's not in the role you want, you can always find ways to kind of, you know, build your skills and kind of make it known that like, hey, I'm really interested in this. And sometimes you can even transition into that role later on, right? So I'll kind of give you some background on me and how I kind of did that. You know, before Waterloo, I kind of had the ability, I had the opportunity to kind of, you know, do a little bit of like co-op experience in my grade 12 like summer. And I kind of worked with like a business consulting kind of firm, and I helped in the R&D kind of side of it. And then, you know, when I first entered Waterloo, I also kind of did some freelance work and some contract work with a Waterloo startup, right, as a UI UX designer. So I kind of had, and you know, I was really involved in like DECA and like all these like business clubs. So what I kind of found early on in my university career is that I really liked, you know, mixing business and design together. Right, and what that kind of taught me is how to, you know, care for the end user and basically build good experiences. And then, you know, I kind of heard about this thing called product management. I'm like, hey, that's really cool. Like, you get to do a bunch of things, and you're kind of intermediary between business teams, design teams, engineers, and you kind of help facilitate and build results, right? So I kind of figured out from an early standpoint that product management is something that I'd be really interested in. So I kind of really went for that. And you know, like in Waterloo works, you just apply to a bunch of things, and you kind of see what happens. And you know, I was really focused on like product management, right? However, even though I wasn't kind of able to land a product role, probably because, you know, my experience was more on the design side, business side, and maybe I was also first. It was my first term, right? So obviously, it's harder to get something like a product role. But what I did land was my first co-op position at Bank of Montreal. As a junior project manager. So this was really cool for me, because even though it wasn't product, it was close enough in the sense that, you know, I could help with like logistics. I could help rally people up together, you know, to meet deadlines, to meet objectives, right? I can kind of work on different projects and kind of see which areas need improvement and like what's kind of lacking. And best of all, I could work with other designers, work with people in different functional groups, and kind of understand like how things work, right? So my first co-opter Mabima was actually really, really insightful for me, and I think I did a pretty good job, because basically, you know, at the end, my manager kind of referred me to another team that was working more on like the B2B side of BMO, and kind of working on more software related products. So I actually got an offer as an associate PM for one of those teams, and that's when I kind of came back in my second internship at a different team in BMO as an associate PM. And that's when I kind of really, really learned what it's like to be a product manager. And I kind of worked, so the project that I worked on was like basically a payment processing solution for the bank. So basically, you know, any time like any of BMO's vendors, like for example, Walmart, right? Like let's say Walmart is one of BMO's customers, their entire payroll processing, so when they need to pay their employees, that's done through us, through BMO. So we actually built a portal and built an actual processing system that allowed companies to do that, you know, and it was very high impact, because, you know, if anything went wrong with that product, like Walmart employees wouldn't get paid, right? So it really helped me understand, you know, kind of the technical side of how things work, but also, you know, how you actually drive results and, you know, how you track things, whether it's like Kanban, Agile, Scrum. I learned those things, and I think that's what kind of helped me build the foundation to kind of get this role at Apple.
No, that's awesome. That's a great spiel. And I think like on top of like that project at BMO that you're working on, that's a very like, that's one of those projects obviously where like the results for success and metrics for success are very tangible, and it's a tangible project itself. So which is obviously really great. I think that's very, honestly, kind of really rare, at least for an intern, or if not maybe an intern APM, right? But at least an intern position itself, to be able to like obviously have hands-on working experience with that sort of project and then actually release and see results, right? So I think that's really awesome. And on top of that, because you know you come from an engineering background, but then you stack on top layers of other experiences, a plethora of design experience and business experience, which makes it easier for you to round yourself out. And I feel like this compared to a lot of other engineering co-op students who apply to PM roles, they don't try to perhaps take the time to take one or two co-op sessions or even, you know, side projects or freelancing work that you did that allowed themselves to feel more rounded out in all aspects of product development instead of just technical engineering experience. Would you sort of agree with that?
Yeah, I know, totally. Like, I'm a true believer in that experience is truly king. And it doesn't just have to be PM experience, right? Like whether you have experience in like business, right? A business role, a design role, an engineering role, right? There are always elements that will translate over, you know, to helping you become a good PM, right? So just because you don't get that first PM position, or like, you know, you're always aiming for PM, right? There are other ways to get it, right? And I think I'm a good example of someone who got it internally within a company, right? I think the main thing is, as long as you don't hate it and you still are able to build impact in some way and you enjoy what you do, even if you haven't reached your goal of PM, like, don't stop there, like, still go for it, and then make that impression that you want to make, build that impact that you want to build, and look for the opportunities within that company. And I think, you know, your chances for maybe finding a different role that is more suited, if that's PM, are a higher chance, right? So I think that's an approach a lot of people don't really think about, right? They just want to get PM straight out the gate. But I really do think that, you know, PM especially, it's kind of like a jack of all trades, master of none sort of kind of field, where you don't have to be, you know, the best at everything, but you kind of need to understand how different components and different things work, right? So having experience in different kind of fields and then combining those and then trying to pursue PM, I think that's a way better route to take.
I definitely agree. And actually, this really heavily pertains to my next question, which We've kind of, not to overlap too much of what we've said so far, but if we take, for example, like, you know, technical experience, design, and business experience, and we focus first of all for technical experience, a lot of people wonder just how technical, at least to what low level of detail do you need to be in order to very much, I guess, succeed at whatever metric you quantify success with in a PM position. Would you be able to provide a take on how technical you would have to be, or at least, like, you know, the typical really successful PM has to be, and perhaps what level of expertise is actually applied on the job?
Yeah, I know that's an amazing question. And, you know, that's actually a question, like my number one, that used to be my number one question a lot when I used to talk to other PMs and, you know, other successful product managers, because, you know, when it comes to the technical side, I really do think that, I think it's important, but it also depends on the team and the role you're in, right? So obviously, if you know you're a technical product manager at Facebook or Google working on, you know, cloud infrastructure, right? I'm assuming that, you know, the level of technicality is like higher there, right? But I know a bunch of product managers that don't even get asked any technical questions, right? And they go for product manager roles in like monetization, you know, departments, or like, you know, like sales in Canada, like, and you know, there's product managers in many fields, right? So I think I have one friend right now who's working at this one startup, and she's more in the sales and monetization. But she's a PM there. So, you know, the question she got during the interview was all related to like A/B testing, you know, stats questions, right? Things like that. So I really do think that it really depends. However, being able to code is always like a nice to have thing, right? And you never know when you're going to need it. And I know like some companies do actually require that. Like I'm pretty sure like I've heard like Microsoft, for example, you know, requires their program manager interns or their program managers to be able to code, right? However, in my experience, I think what matters most is just being able to understand how things work, right? Or how the product that you're specifically going to be working on works, right? So I am by no means a good coder. In fact, I really do not like coding, like with actual passion. Right. But being able to understand how things work, I think, is very essential. And, you know, whether that's at a high level or maybe like a system design architectural level, right, you need to understand how your product works in order to, you know, build success for it. Right. So usually, at least in most PM roles, I don't think you would actually have to touch code, because, you know, there are distinct people who that's literally their job, you know, to code things out and to understand it, right? But you should always be able to, you know, go to a software developer or like go to an engineer, right? And they explain how something works, and you should be able to understand it, right? I do think the ability to like read code, understand how, you know, like the system works, whether like it's like a data pipeline or, you know, anything like that, I think that is what's really, really crucial, and that's what people should really focus on if you want to go into PM. However, you know, being able to code will obviously mean that you kind of understand these things at some point. And I think like it's always a good thing to have, right? So that's why like obviously like a lot of people in engineering backgrounds and computer science backgrounds become product managers, right? Especially in like tech companies, because usually that level of technicality is needed. So, yeah.
No, I found it really hilarious because when you mentioned like obviously like you kind of hate code as a passion, if I reiterate what you said, that's actually a very funny consistency whenever I talk to a lot of PMs, is that they either, you know, they wouldn't mind going back to coding at all if they switched jobs, but there is a large portion where they're just like, yeah, no, coding's not for me. That's why I'm a PM in the first place. Like that's part of the foundational, you know, factor that
yeah.
And so, yeah, no, I at least for me, from my experience, it's not really too much in the middle. It's a very bipolar spectrum, which is totally fine, right? Like if people come from different backgrounds, people have preferences. And also, yeah, I guess going to a little more applicable question for your experience at Apple is, or at least your experience at either BMO or Apple as a PM, is there any sort of memorable or very, very, I guess, like proud like time where you realize, you know, your technical expertise, at least at that time, was very helpful to whatever project or hands-on project you were working on at the time?
Actually, I'd say it wasn't. It depends on what we're talking about technical. I remember in BMO, one thing that really came into handy was actually my design courses. In the system design engineer, we do have like a few design courses, like human factors of design, and like, you know, kind of like basically, you know, building good experiences for people, right? And I remember, you know, one of the things I was doing in BMO is we were helping with the digital experience, right, with one of our products, and one of our goals was also to make it accessible, especially for like people like with like, you know, vision conditions and things like that. So the things that I actually learned from that, and this was actually the first time like school actually translated anything in work that I did. That was actually the first time where I was able to use kind of the criteria, like the things I learned from school in terms of my design courses, such as like personas, user journey maps, things like that, to actually apply to work and like to the business proposal we created. And it actually made a really, really good impression because it helped people understand like, oh, okay, like these are the type of people that will be using their product. And this is kind of how we should map things out to basically increase like user satisfaction and things like that, right? In terms of software particularly, as that background, I will say that everything that I've learned in terms of that knowledge has always been through work. And there's been many times where I don't understand how things work, and like I need clarity on specific things, right? And my thing to that is just ask questions. Like, I'm the type of person that really just learns on the job. It's hard for me to kind of learn at school when I don't know where the applicability is. So as soon as I'm able to see like, oh, okay, this is why we need this set in here because it applies to this specific portion of the product, that's when I start to begin to understand things. So yes, actually, you know, to actually like say, hey, how much, was there a time that, you know, the things that I knew actually helped me? It was actually the times that the things where I didn't know, I actually had to really, really press to understand those things better. So I would actually sit down with like the scrum master of my team, and like, hey, I really don't understand this. Could you just like reiterate this to me, like re-explain it so I can understand what this applies? And, you know, and he would explain it to me, right? As soon as like there's something that an engineer that I didn't know what he's talking about, I basically frame it in a way like, hey, like, you know, you were talking about XYZ. Could you like, you know, talk about that more and like why this applies right now and like why is this important? And then, you know, and when you ask it like that, it doesn't make you seem like you don't know anything, but you're asking like why. Like that's what a product manager should do, right? Like, what is the benefit of this? Why is this important? Why is this like not working correctly? Right? And I think that during your work terms, as you kind of approach it this way and you keep on asking questions, I think you'll learn a lot more than you would, you know, in school when you kind of don't really see where these things apply and you know, things that are very specific, not really specific to what you'd be working on in work, right? So basically what I'm trying to say, I kind of went on a little bit of a, like a rant there, but what I'm trying to say is the times where, you know, I wasn't that knowledgeable in certain areas, I really made a point to try to ask a lot of questions in work. And basically, you know, frame my questions so that I could actually learn what this, like, why this is important, and why this kind of relates to the product itself. And that's when I was able to learn the most. And kind of those things kind of carried me over from my first work term to my second work term. And now at Apple, a lot of the things are transferable. And yeah, I think that's what kind of made me successful in that area.
That's great. No, awesome. That's a very comprehensive answer. For that was actually really great. I was pretty deep into what you were talking about there. Kind of lost my train of thought too of what I was going to ask next, but now I figure it out. So it's actually my last question. It's usually the same question either way for every episode that we have, but obviously it's the most important question, or one of the most at least for all the listeners, or 90% of the listeners out there, is what is the most important or at least the best piece of advice that you, from your experience, that you can provide for all our listeners who are, I'm assuming like 90% are those who are looking for their PM internships or applying to new grad PM roles, right? That you can provide to them in order to land those PM roles. Pretty open-ended, simple as that. I know like you covered aspects of this in your previous answer as well as your experience answer, but if you're able to provide anything else, any sort of, you know, just really general answer or piece of advice that's very applicable or anything that you think is valuable, please go ahead.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'll give you a few pointers that kind of come to my head. I'll kind of restate the stuff that I already talked about. Like, for example, I think the number one thing that I would say, I know I already talked about this, but I really do think experience is the number one thing. It is the king. And it doesn't just have to be PM experience, right? Like, things translate over. So, you know, and I honestly think variety is a really important factor to consider when you're going to PM, and having a variety of experiences will help you actually become a better PM. So I think one thing to do is, you know, like, kind of like target that variety, right? And whether that's like, you know, different internships, right? Maybe different side projects that, like, you know, kind of target like different types of things that you haven't worked on, right? Build something on the side, right? I think those types of things help mold you into a better candidate when you're applying for this PM role. So that's one kind of thing I would give. I think another one is like, and I know I mentioned this before too, right? But you don't have to get the PM role specifically like through like applying like directly, right? There's always opportunities within your work, I feel like. So if you're a designer or a software developer or something and you want to consider PM, right? Reach out to the product managers in your team, or reach out to the product managers or someone in a role that you're interested in within, you know, your department or your company, right? And talk to them, like, understand how a PM thinks, understand what their day-to-day is, right? Ask them, you know, is there any kind of, you know, advice you have for me to kind of become, like, kind of, you know, move closer to the field you're in, right? And you know, if you kind of make these things, like what I did really, is I always told my manager, like, yeah, like, I really do want to become a product manager one day, like, I think this is the field I'm really interested in. And if you make those things known, most companies and most managers that you know, that are supportive, they will kind of help you, you know, and help mold you to become closer to what you want, right? And I was really lucky to have a really good manager. Shout out to Danielle. She basically, you know, set up a lot of my projects and a lot of my experiences so that I could work on products. I could help with feature prioritization. I could help with, you know, metric analysis and things like that. And basically set me up so that I could achieve roles like these. So, and I guess the final thing I'd say is, you know, to become a strong PM, I think you always need to ask why. And you know, even at Apple right now, one of the things that I keep on being like, one of the things that my manager always you know, tells me is like, you need to always kind of define the impact that you're always making, right? As a PM, it's like, you know, a designer, an engineer, you may have to, like, you know, do a specific task, but once that task is given to you, you kind of just go do it, right? But the PM is always, you know, worrying about, why are we doing this, right? What is the impact that this task will actually bring to us, right? What are the trade-offs of doing this, you know? Is this effort worth the actual value that's coming in? And if it's not, then what's the point, right? Like, these are the types of things that are, like, the types of ways that a product manager thinks. So I think always asking why is a really key point. I know this may not be specifically to how to get, like, a PM role, but I think to become a successful PM, like, this is the kind of mindset that you need to have, right? And I think it's the mindset that's, like, worked well for me. So obviously this is just my opinion, but I really do think, like, this is the kind of advice that I would kind of tell my younger self who wanted to kind of, you know, land that first PM role.
That's great. Oh, awesome. Thanks for that. And I think that'll basically wrap up our podcast episode, because we are going over a lot of time, but we've got a lot of new comprehensive answers from Neil, talking about, he basically extracted as much as he could from experience and his knowledge for us and for this content of this episode. So we thank Neil for that. And yeah, no, that's great. I think we'll basically wrap it up here. But thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to this episode, to whoever's listening, and hopefully that you enjoy the next episode that we release and gain even more content information from that episode. And thanks again. Until then, cheers.